Welcome to the Venus Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Allison Scott. I used to be Allison's strength and conditioning coach when she was a varsity hockey player at Guelph. She was actually a two-sport athlete. She also played field hockey. And Allie is going to share with us her stories of how she went from training to be, or training for her function, I guess, as an athlete, to training for her Venus Index and sort of the whole path that she followed from going from one to the other, and the, you know, mindset shifts and all kinds of stuff along the way that really changed the way she was viewing what the point of working out was at all, and what to do about going from being an athlete to not being, I guess, in organized sports anymore. So let's just start, I guess, let's start with your history then of your training from when you were playing both sports, and when you're, I guess, let's start at when you're in university and a varsity athlete.
Well, I guess when I was playing sports, the whole idea was to be bigger, faster, stronger. And ever since I was in high school, I mean, that was always the goal. I never really thought that I could be anything else. I mean, I'm quite short. I'm only 5'1", 5'1¾", I like to call myself, but only in the mornings, I guess. And I always just thought that I could never be anything else other than, but I was always stronger and faster than everybody. So that was the only way that I could kind of find pride in my body and be confident about my body. So that's, you know, I always was athletic because it was just the thing that came naturally to me. And then, so it just continued all the way through university, and I was training for strength and for speed more than anything else. And I really wasn't thinking about what it made me look like.
Right. And so I guess I apologize for contributing to that, because we just trained for more strength and more speed when I was with you guys. So and then so obviously that worked. Like, you know, explain us a little bit about where you got to, I guess, with that.
Well, I mean, I guess it was rewarding in its own sense. I mean, and I've always been someone that, I mean, I don't know what the basis of it is, but I've always put on a lot of muscle really quickly. I've always been really strong, really fast for my size, even way before I started training. And then I started weight training very early. I was probably 13 or 14. I was playing a high-level hockey on a guy's team, and they were all twice my size. So I ended up training, you know, very, very hard at a very early age to try to get bigger and stronger. And it just came so easily to me. So I you know, I got to the point where I was, you know, probably squatting well over what I weighed, and I could do, you know, 40, 50 push-ups in a row. And it was just, I mean, I was very happy. It got me to a place where in sports where I was really competitive and I was happy and athletic. But at the same time, it was kind of hard, because at the same time, I was a teenage girl for the whole time. I was 17 when I showed up to university. So, I mean, at the same time, you're very self-conscious, you're body conscious, and you want to look a certain way. And it's kind of depressing when you can see your training kind of give you a look that you're not necessarily happy with, and like as a woman as opposed to as an athlete.
Right. So there was two different things were going on there. There was your desire to look like better as, and at the time you didn't realize it was actually the Venus Index, but to have that shape, but for your function, you were training yourself into a different shape, but that was making you an all-Canadian athlete.
Exactly. And then at the same time, I mean, I had kind of come to terms with before that I just figured I could never look like, you know, the sexy or the really attractive woman, because I'm short. And like I said, I've been stocky since I can remember. I mean, because I've been training since I can remember. And I always just thought that I would be, you know, like the short, stocky, you know, like flat chested, big legs, like, and that was just my body type. So at least I had to find some way to be happy and proud of my body type. And then I guess the way to do that was to be happy with what it could do, because I was fast and strong.
Right. So, exactly. Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So you just, it was almost a bit of goal hijacking before you even knew what that concept was.
Absolutely. I just figured that I couldn't ever be, you know, I couldn't ever make my body look the way I wanted to, because my legs are too short, or I'm too short, or whatever it is. I don't have that, you know, feminine shape. So I just figured I can never have it. So I'm not even going to go for it. And then in that case, I kept training and getting bigger and bigger stronger and stronger, because I never really, I mean, even though I recognized that that wasn't exactly the shape that a girl was, you know, the shape I wanted to have to look like a woman, but at the same time, I never thought that I could really look like one of those, you know, hot women. So I just, it didn't really bother me to keep working on being stronger and stronger.
Because as long as you stayed within the world of sports, you were an all-star.
Exactly. And then, of course, like you were saying, all of that changed for me when I stopped playing sports. I stopped playing sports midway through university, and I took some time off and did some traveling, and then I came back. And then, of course, you're in this big identity crisis, because not only had I associated just my, sort of my life, I'd always been an athlete, you know, training. You know, when I was playing 2RC sports, it was 4:30 in the morning, 5 in the morning for field hockey, and then 5 at night for hockey, and some training session during the day somewhere in there, and a full course load. I mean, I don't even remember the first 2 years of university. I was so busy. And so when I came back, it's an identity crisis, not just with the amount of time, but also then all of a sudden now I've stuck with this athlete's body and I'm not playing sports anymore. So there's no excuse for why. Well, I guess excuse isn't necessarily the right word, but that's what it felt like. I didn't have an excuse for my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, identity crisis is the exact word. So, all right, well, then that leads us to some conversations you and I had and what you did next.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you and I were still talking and hanging out, and I just and I knew that you were working on this kind of. I knew about the men's product you were working on. I'm like, well, you know, what's that for women? And you guys have been working on the calculations at the time, and I was like, well, you know what? If there's a perfect size for a guy at any size, at any height, I mean, then there must be one for me, regardless if I have short legs or if I have no chest or whatever. I still should be able to look, you know, look good. And then I'm so used to training. I mean, it was so funny. I was still training hard, but the only way I knew how to train was, you know, for strength and power. And so I was still training that way, and I was working out all the time, and I still had this body that I wasn't happy with. So I, you know, you and I talked about, you know, Venus and Adonis, and I just asked, you know, well, what do I have to do?
Yeah, and that was an awkward conversation. A little bit. Well, it's just hard for a girl to just say, okay, just lay it on me. What do I have to do? And it's, you know, if the answer is, you know, bring certain areas down or lose some, like bring, I mean, part of the answer was, I remember we had a conversation where you were up, you were understood the concept of the ratios. You wanted your numbers. And then we also could correlate that to a body weight range likely that you'd need to be in. So you kind of, it was funny because you kind of put me on the spot there, and most, no guy ever wants to have to answer to a girl that, well, I think you, these measurements need to come down and you need to be lighter. But that was basically what I said to you. And then you just did it, which was pretty cool. And, how did you, were you, obviously you were expecting something like that as an answer?
Well, I mean, like we all know, right? Like if you don't have a body that you're comfortable with, you know that something has to change. And it's almost never like, gee, I'd really like to put on a few pounds. I mean, for some people that is what they want to do, but I mean, for most people, you, like, you know that you have to get smaller. And especially I spent my whole life trying to build size. I mean, especially when I was really young, I played hockey with guys until I was 16. And, you know, some of those 16-year-old guys ended up being, you know, 6'4" and 200 pounds. And, you know, so I spent my whole time trying to get bigger so that I could be competitive. I mean, even in women's hockey in university, there are some girls that are that big. Not quite, but close.
Yeah.
And so I spent my whole life trying to get bigger. So obviously I know that I have to get smaller. I mean, it's not like I wasn't big enough at that point in time.
Right.
And it was hard. It was depressing because I worked out so much. It's not like I'm like, gosh, I really have to do something, right? And then also, you know, you eat so much when you're training so much. And I must say, like, even all that time where I was getting big, it's not like I was ripped the whole time. I mean, I was strong, and I was, I guess, what people would consider quite fit. But, I mean, I still had a fair amount of fat on me that had to come off too. And I kind of always hid under that too, because I just figured my size was part of my muscle and this and that. I just never believed that I could be thin. I've never been one of the really skinny girls, and I was never really, really big, but I mean, I knew that there was some to come off, and it was just, so I mean, I guess I always knew, but it was still depressing to hear it, especially because I worked so hard and ate so quote unquote healthy, even though I knew I was eating a lot because I was training, you know, upwards of 4 or 5 hours a day.
So when we talked, did that conversation make you somewhere in your head, are you thinking, all right, so now I've got to go backwards from what I was doing? In other words, all that training was put me the wrong direction, and now you have to take some of that off? Was that part of how you were thinking?
I was kind of scared because a lot of my body confidence has always come from my abilities, right? Like, I've always said, like, the only way I ever had confidence in my body was be like, well, even though I don't look the way I necessarily want to, at least I'm faster and stronger than everybody. Not that now when I look back, it's silly, because who cares? But so I was scared because I knew that if I stopped training heavy weights, that I would obviously lose some of that strength. and that I wouldn't be able to do that anymore. And for somehow, like, if I'm like, well, if I can't squat this or I can't bench press this, I mean, and then what if this doesn't work and I'm still not happy with how I look? Now I don't have either, right? Now I don't have confidence in what my body can do.
Or how it looks.
And I don't look the way I want to. Exactly. So it was kind of like a leap of faith. So you're lucky that I kind of trust you.
Then you would have had an even worse identity crisis.
Exactly. Because then I would have been, you know, not how I want to look, and I wouldn't have been happy with how I how my body performed, athletically.
So in other words, it wouldn't be built for show or for go.
Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, so it was kind of a leap of faith, but I mean, I had seen you guys do the numbers with the guys, and I mean, I just really wanted something to change because I wasn't happy at all, and I was, training lots and lots and still not happy with my body, so I figured, well, here goes. I mean, I always knew that maybe being smaller would help, so here goes. And so I just kind of did it, and it was kind of hopeful because I trust you guys and your theories, and I'd seen you guys do it with the guys, and I know that you guys know your stuff, so, and I'd seen the research with you and seen the process, so I was ready to take that step and just be like, well, you know what, let's see if I can finally have that body that I've always wanted, because I mean, throughout this whole time I'm still a young woman through all this all, and you still want to be, you know, attractive, and you're still trying to be, you know, sexy, and you're trying to be out there and meet new people, and it's hard when you don't have confidence in your body, and especially like when you're not playing s'mores anymore and you have this like, you know, athletic tank body, and you're like, but I don't play sports anymore, and that just, and then you lose that kind of identity too. I was just ready to really kind of grow up and find a body that I'd be comfortable with sort of for the long run. I mean, all that university is part about finding yourself and finding like the body that was going to work for me sort of in the long run and not just when I was on the ice or on the field was important to me too.
Yeah, like 10 years from now, you don't want to be still, people are saying, oh, you don't want to still be identifying yourself as an athlete.
Like, exactly. And it seems so kind of, I mean, I don't want to be doing that well past when I'm actually playing sports, because to me that's, I mean, you don't hang on to the past like that. It's all about sort of being the person that you are right now, you know, and I mean, and everyone knows that your body changes. I mean, you can't just say like, oh, I'm an athlete when you stopped playing sports, you know, 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
I totally can't identify with a hockey player like well past
not yet.
Yeah,
not days. Yeah, the social credibility or the usefulness of that kind of fades as soon as you're not in those arenas.
Exactly.
Okay, so the first thing we did the first thing we did was we specifically targeted your legs and took some size off your legs.
Right. And that was super important to me.
Yeah. So I remember you asked me, you were just like, how do I make these things smaller? And the answer was actually relatively simple. And so it was to stop training them, especially stop training them heavy, and not necessarily stop training them altogether, but completely change how we train them. So just walk us through the big change you made. I think that was over the summer. We weren't training together or anything, but I remember you made a lot of progress just in a few months with that.
Yeah, I really took up running, and I've never been a runner. I never identified with being a runner, and I guess I could call myself a runner. I run a lot, but I never thought, I mean, I'm short and I'm stocky. That's not what you normally see as like a runner, and I was always crappy at running because I never ran. I mean, you always think it's genetic or it's because of your stature or something, but I mean, I was a bad runner because I never ran. I mean, it makes sense now. I'm a bad swimmer because I don't swim. So I took up running because it was just that repetitive motion and a light motion that would hopefully atrophy the legs a little bit or whatever, at least give me something to do, because it's not like I can just do nothing. I was so used to training, I couldn't just stop training. But still get away from me to give my legs some work, but in a way that wouldn't increase them in size. And then you had to keep in mind that before this, I mean, the hockey training we did for legs, it's not, I mean, I am, I guess, genetically a little bit more muscular or put on muscle easily. But, I mean, I train my legs hard. And then during juvenile muscle growth, when I was quite young and all that very, very early, you know, the stuff like I was, lunge walking just hundreds of meters, and I'm a goaltender for hockey. So I was in a squat for, you know, hours a day, every single day. Mm. And so, I mean, the kind of training I did for my legs was extremely heavy. And then, going from that to not training them at all. I mean, I didn't even do body weight squats or anything. I trained upper body as far as weights went, and then I ran. And the running was a huge thing. It really helped me, it kept me time-wise, it kept me exercising for about as long as I used to be exercising for, because I could go for an hour run and then do some weight training. And it gave me some space to clear my head, and it really actually helped my legs. And then as soon as I started to see my legs come down a little bit, it just kept me running because I was like, wow, it's working.
Mm-hmm. And how much size did you think you take off them, I guess, from when that transition till even now?
I'd say that it's close to a couple inches each, and that's not even at the top of the thigh, like the widest part, I guess, of most people's thighs. I mean, this was just right above the knee. My legs used to just go down cylindrically from the widest part of the, like, you know, right up by your groin and that, like, the really wide part of your leg, and it just used to go straight down to above the knee and then cut off like a big rectangle. And so yeah. That size came off right above my knee, which is, it was good. I was really happy with it.
That's where you're hoping for it to happen. So you wanted that sweep from the hip to knee.
Exactly, because I always had such a chicken leg type, you know, thigh where it was just so wide and then straight to nothing. Not nothing, but and then much smaller calves. And there was no sort of feminine taper of the leg at all. Like, it was just so. And then, of course, I mean, all women who have trained legs know the pain of finding pants when your legs are two sizes bigger than your hips and waist. So, anyways.
Yeah, so. And I'd say even now they're your dominant feature, but at least they're not like before they were super mega dominant. But now,
yeah,
now I think they fit on your body perfectly now. But before they were like they really dominated your physique.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I mean, I'm happy. I mean, I know that my legs are still my dominant body part. I mean, I have big legs. And
I get it.
I have big legs. But they're not, they fit on my body now and I'm happy with them, especially now that, they're leaner too. I mean, I can start to see all the definition in them, so I don't feel like they're excessively big or they, mm-hmm. I mean, they, as you said, they're still my dominant feature, but they fit on my body and I'm happy with them. And I mean, I did have a fair amount of fat on me, like way more than I wanted to admit, because in this day and age, like that baseline just changes because you see so many people that are overweight or obese that, as soon as you're in a certain category, you're like, well, I'm fit. I'm in the fit category. And you couldn't think that you had, I mean, I had probably I lost about 20 pounds of fat. And
you're five foot one. And when you, I know we've had conversations about this. Did you actually think, like when we came up with your numbers and said it would probably be somewhere between 115 and you know, like between 120 and 115, so 117 ish range. Did you even believe? I know you said you didn't even think you could be there, but did you believe you even had that much weight to lose? Because you weren't. You're not that big of a person anyways.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and even at my heaviest, I guess I was never what anyone would call, like, fat necessarily. And like I said, because that's just because of societal changing baselines. And since I started weighing myself, you know, whenever you start weighing yourself in high school or whatever, I had never weighed that little. And so I just didn't think it was possible, especially, you know, I trained so much. And I was so, you know, I tried to be careful about what I ate, but when I think about it, I was being careful about what I ate, not how much I ate. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought, well, you know, maybe I have 5 pounds to go, or I'm just bigger than everybody else. I mean, I thought I was just chock full of muscle or whatever it was underneath that, or a stocky frame. I mean, back then I didn't know that much about physiology. I mean, I was 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I never ever would have guessed that I had 20 pounds of fat to lose.
Yeah,
ever.
And then as you were on your way down, so for everybody listening, like Allie was like, you know, she goes to school, well now you're done, but in school in the same city that I'm in. So in the summers, I just correspond with her, coaching her sort of via email, that in the summers, or during the school year, sometimes we actually train together at the gym. I mean, you know, she does her workout and I do mine, but, you know, we still communicate. So on the way down, You had mentioned, I know we talked about this, that you're a little bit surprised that our numbers were actually what they were going to be, because you just, you know, a couple pounds to go and you're like, oh man, it really is a couple more. And then, oh yeah, it really is a couple more. And then when you start realizing it, the message went, you know, from a year or whatever ago when I said, oh, it's probably somewhere between 115 and 120. And you kind of, I know you sort of didn't want to believe that a little bit. And then now that you're there, you're like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because when I was at my heaviest, I was, you know, probably about 135. And I was sitting there going, I mean, there can't be more. Like, you know, I got to, and then I got to, you know, 130 pretty quickly, and then I got to 125, and I had never weighed 125 when I was ever when I started weighing myself, and I was like, oh my god, like I'm so happy to be at 125, like it can't possibly, is he kidding me? 10 more pounds? Like, are you kidding me? And I was so happy with my body because I had never been that light. And then I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? To be at my numbers? It's 10 more? But then, you know, I just kept plugging away. And as I got closer and closer, and I was like, oh yeah, it is 10 more.
Yeah. So. And yeah, that was funny because you get to 120, you got to 125 and, you know, and I knew you were happy with the progress. And it's hard to say to somebody who doesn't look bad that there's still more to go. It's hard to, I do think it's shifting baselines, because you're already sort of more athletic looking and in better kind of physical condition than just about anyone else around anyways. But as far as getting to your ideal VI, which was what you asked specifically the ideal VI. We just, you know, we went with the calculations and then you got closer to 120 and you're like, oh yeah, this is starting to look a lot more like what I was after. And then there was the 120 barrier. So I remember you had another psychological barrier about being into the teens, but also wasn't that motivating too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess 125 was the biggest one for me because it was a lot of landmarks. A, I had never weighed 125, and it was 10 pounds. You know, I had lost 10 pounds, you know, at least a solid 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I dropped 10 pounds. I'm lighter than I've ever been. It's like this, you know, square number. It's a nice, it's a nice point. And I was just so happy to have hit that threshold. But then I recognized too when I was there that it's not like I was, now I'm like, okay, now I love my body and everything's perfect and I look great. Especially when I just knew that I had more to go. And even though I was happy, I mean, you still know. And so as I kept going, it was a totally rewarding feeling. And then it got to be like, yeah, I want to be in the teens. And then, you know, I kept in the teens, you know, when I was a little bit fasted. And then I was like, okay, now I just want to be there like, I want to be there fed like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was neat. Like it became a goal. Definitely.
And so when you started recognizing you were just a few inches away from the VI, that's when you basically said, well, let's just do this.
Well, then I realized, I mean, no offense. It's not like I didn't trust you, but then I really realized it was possible. Right. I mean, you always kind of want to believe that you're different or something special, you know, or you have a really outlier of a body type that won't let you quite get there. Mm-hmm. And you kind of always want to believe that because otherwise you're like, well, how come I wasn't there before? Especially before when I was training so hard. I was like, really, I did all that work. And I mean, I just wanted to, you want to believe it's not possible because it helps you justify why you weren't there beforehand anyways.
And not because you were sitting on the couch, but because you were training and your VI still wasn't anywhere near where
you exactly. I think I wouldn't have felt so, you know, resistant to it had I been doing absolutely nothing. Because you could be like, well, my body doesn't look the way I want to because I'm, you know, I'm lazy and I don't do anything and I eat everything. But I was being, you know, I was eating numerous salads and chicken breasts and working out 4 hours a day. And so you just don't want to believe that you put in all that effort and then your body still wasn't looking anywhere close to what you wanted it to be. So, right. But you know, once I got really close and I could see like, oh, it's just an inch here and it's an inch here. And you know, I can see that that's fat because I can pinch it. And I know that that's fat. That's not my body type, you know, mm-hmm. That's fat and I can get rid of fat because I've gotten rid of fat. So it's just, you know, and that became, that's when I really became like, oh, I can, you know, be this and I can do that. And it'll be real for me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so the numbers, our actual measurements, talk to me a little bit about the psychology of the actual shooting for the measurements versus a body weight. Even though there's a body weight range associated with what your ideal numbers should end up, talk about that, the fact that it's not just weight loss, it's not strength, it's not anything, it's just
shape.
It's just shape.
That was huge for me. Mostly because, I mean, I've always weighed more than everybody else, you know, in and around my height. And even though I wasn't necessarily that much bigger, I mean, I think it had partially to do with, I mean, I did have a fair bit of muscle mass on me, but I mean, I know that it's not really that much more. But so, and then my, you know, you can watch your weight go up and down. And once you start weighing yourself every single day at the same time every day, then you recognize, you know, like as a girl, you know, when you're close to your period, you'll put on a couple of pounds. And I know that every single month, at the same time, I put on 2 pounds, but it's okay if you know that it's going to come off afterwards. And then your weight from eating, I mean, you might eat a pound or two of food every day. So that, I mean, that's a fluctuation of on someone my size, you know, it can be up to 4 or 5 pounds in one day of fluctuation. So you can't get caught up on weight because it changes so much. And I recognize that once I started weighing myself all the time. I used to only weigh myself, you know, say once a week out of fear.
Yeah.
And then so I get all disappointed because every now and again you go up a pound or up 2 pounds and then down a pound or down 2 pounds. And it was just so all over the place that it's this emotional roller coaster. But when you weigh yourself, you know, when you start to weigh yourself every day and you recognize what the fluctuation is, then you can actually pretty much just stop weighing yourself because you recognize that it doesn't really mean much.
Mm-hmm.
And then the measurements were big for me because, like I said, I mean, I've never really thought that I had a body type that could ever look attractive. And it was really, pardon the pun, appealing to me that, and attractive to me that the Venus index was based on, you know, the research is based on physical attractiveness because, I mean, I'm still coming of age or whatever at this time. And I never felt sexy. I never felt like a woman. I never felt attractive. I mean, I'm 5 foot nothing. I'm totally flat chested, you know, it's stocky. So I always just felt like I looked like a kid. You don't want to feel like that when you're out in the world and you meet people and you're trying to like be sexy and become a woman. And I feel like I look like a child.
Mm.
And so, I mean, the fact that the research was based on attractiveness really helped me. The idea that I could get a feminine curve and I could get the hourglass shape, you know, through my shoulders and my waist and my butt, and I didn't have to worry about, you know, having longer legs or being taller or having a bigger chest, that I could get that shape. And I really like that those measurements are based off that kind of research.
Yeah, and like you said, it doesn't matter how tall you are or how, quote, stocky you are. It fits on everyone. So you don't have to have, like, genetically big chest and tall and long legs. It's irrelevant. I clearly don't understand how girls view this or how they react to each other, but I do know how the numbers work, and it's shoulders, hips, and waist, and I know what guys look at, and that's what guys are drawn to. So, to me, it seems like it would be liberating for girls to realize, oh, I can actually affect this. I'm not stuck with my genetics.
Oh, for me, it was 100% liberating. I mean, I was 100% convinced ever since that I became aware of my body and aware that I was, you know, a sort of a sexual being that was being judged, you know, both by other women and by men, and as soon as I was aware of that, I never thought that I could ever be, you know, like model pretty or, you know, one of those girls. And I don't know why, but for some reason, my group of friends in high school, like, I was the fat one, you know, and I wasn't even fat. Like, it just happened to be that the group of friends, you know, the girls that I hung out with were all, you know, tall and skinny and size zeros and all those really kind of tall, lean girls that were really skinny before they hit puberty and then as they were hitting puberty, I guess. And then I was the fat one and I always just felt fat or big or whatever. So like I said, that's when I really started trying to find confidence in what my body could do. And then I just never believed I could look like any of them because I never did. I mean, I was never, I've always been short and stocky and strong. So
as soon as you became self-aware of your body, you just had it built into your mind that I'm not that, I'm something else.
Yeah. No matter what, I'm never going to be that, one of those girls. So, I mean, I guess I have to find my confidence in myself in being sarcastic and strong and fast, right? You know, you try to be
just other things,
anything else, right?
Yeah.
And that's how I found any sort of self-confidence. So for me, Venus was extremely liberating because just the idea that I could be, you know, one of those sexy girls with my stature was just so important to me because, like I said, I've always felt like a child because I'm so small, like I'm short and you know, flat chested, all that kind of stuff that just makes you feel so young and so not womanly, I guess.
And so having like you said, it was a bit of a leap of faith to trust us. So aside from the quote faith in the numbers, you've obviously done some after pictures and so faith aside, you actually do like the way it looks now.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of exciting. I mean, to do some those fitness photo shoots I did for you guys for Venus, and it was really nice because you can't tell sometimes because you see yourself in the mirror every single day, and like I said, you know, on someone my size, you know, I lost 20 pounds, but in one day I can go up or down 5 pounds, and you can see that too. It's not like it just, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like you gain 5 pounds in water weight or whatever it is and you don't see it. I mean, you can see it. So within day to day, I'd be like, oh my God, you know, I'm bloated this or I don't look good today. And you know, I mean, you and I have had conversations where I've been so up and down within like the same day about how I look. Mm. And it's hard. But to see it in pictures was a really big difference, because it's not like you just take pictures of yourself naked every day. If you do, good for you, because that's, you know, yeah, good for you. But I never have been into that practice of the daily naked picture. So, I mean, it's really hard to tell. But then to look at the pictures, you know, before and after, and you'd always tell me like, okay, well, like, pull out your before pictures, and then, you know, pull out a recent picture, and, or, you know, after I had some after pictures where you can see my body. It's like, oh, okay, I really did make some changes. I really did lose some significant weight. It's not just all water. It's not just, you know, an illusion. I did make some differences. So doing the after pictures was really neat, because I was like, wow, I do look different.
Yeah, and putting them next to the before, which you were completely reluctant to even go look at, which was, I thought was kind of funny. Everyone is. Everyone's just doesn't like their befores.
It's so funny. And then, like, you know, you'd want me to send you one so that you could have a before picture of me to do a before and after. And I'm like, I don't want to send that to you. And obviously you knew me when I was that size. You saw me all
Yeah,
the
I've
time.
Seen you at the before picture, but you don't even want to send one to me. And, yeah. I've seen you enough at the gym and stuff that I also didn't really notice. Like, I'd obviously noticed you changing, but when you sent the before, I was like, wow, that's a big change.
Yeah, I mean, and then when you put on weight, you put it on so slowly too that you don't really realize. I mean, I guess one part that I left out is that after I finished playing sports, I mean, I went to Europe and I spent a year in France, which is phenomenal. But cheese and fresh bread is really cheap over there. And I was all sad and alone and in a foreign country, so I ate away my pain. And
well, at least it tasted good.
It tasted fantastic.
Yeah.
And then I did some backpacking all over Europe, and you're like, really? It's like €3 for an entire pizza, and I'm in Italy? And you're like, well...
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We're not going to share a pizza. I was traveling with a girlfriend of mine, and we're in Italy.
You'd be foolish not to bite, you know, not to
foolish like, not to have your own pizza. I mean, yeah. And we don't even like the same kind of pizza. And sure. then after you're in Italy, so you're going to have gelato, and it's hot, right. So probably twice a day. And
and then it just goes and goes.
And it just goes and goes and goes. So I did put on like I mean, the whole time that I was training and playing hockey, you know, I probably weighed about 130 pounds, in and around 130 pounds. And then when I went to Europe, I probably gained that other over that the course of that year, I probably gained another five-ish pounds.
Well,
and that
mostly, was when mostly I was, in your face.
Mostly in my face, because I'm half Chinese, and that's where we like to put it. So so that's when I really noticed. Like, I came back and I was like, oh my god, I have to make a change, because it wasn't just, you know, gradual size that I had put on through training and like slight overeating. It was like that was the most weight I had put on sort of in a short amount of time, and it was all fat, and it was all just right there and in all my pictures. So I was joking with John that I should have made an album called Watch Allie Get Fat in Europe, because I was trying to find a good before picture for my before and after, and I just decided, well, I guess it would be the last place that I was in Europe, because I just got, you know, as we traveled in country to country, it just seemed like I got bigger and bigger, just more eating different cultures of food, and it was just too funny. So it just became the point that I was just eating so much in all the different places, and I was stressed because, I mean, you're going through the stress of living in different places and people not speaking English. So I was just laughing that was probably what the album should have been, that Watch Allie Get Fat in Europe. And
and you had no exercise routine then either, besides
no,
walking,
absolutely
right?
No, I mean, and you're walking around because you're doing the walking. And I mean, I know that I probably gave myself too much leeway being like, well, you know, I'm walking around, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. And so obviously I'm burning lots and lots of calories, but I mean, not if you're eating the entire time. And,
right.
And that much walking isn't going to compensate for eating.
And so you get the same reaction I get as far as exercise somehow adding structure to the day and helping you stick to, I guess, stick to your eating pattern. You know what I mean? Like sticking to a, I don't want to say sticking to a diet, but sticking to a responsible eating pattern, an eating pattern that you sort of have planned out, so to speak, versus when your exercise routine sort of out the window, then the eating pattern seems to go out the window with it.
Yeah, I absolutely have to exercise, and in a structured way. I mean, if it's just, you know, going out for a walk because you're shopping or you're traveling or whatever, I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but it doesn't feel like exercise. So to me, it just didn't register properly in my head. I mean, I totally recognize that, you know, burning as far as calorie burning goes, exercise doesn't do nearly as much as you hope it will, because it feels like so much work, but you're really not burning that many calories. But for me, to go to the gym and run or do some cardio or do some weight training, it really helps me stay focused because, well, A, very conveniently, especially if I'm running, I don't eat for an hour or a couple hours beforehand because otherwise I'll get a cramp. And then it's a real appetite killer for me, too. After I exercise, I won't feel like eating for an hour or two. So if I'm really feeling, a craving, or I'm feeling really like I want to eat and I know that I don't need to, exercising can often help me get over that because it just kills my appetite for a few hours. So if I plan my workout during the day where I know that I'm going to feel like eating but I don't need to, then if I plan my exercise that way, then it actually just helps me not eat, just in the sense that it kills my appetite. But also, it keeps me accountable because I did so much work. And even when you know that it doesn't burn that many calories, you're like, well, I mean, I did all this work and it feels good. And you feel good about your body after you exercise. I feel confident. So then you don't want to, and you know that eating is going to, especially overeating, is going to ruin that look or ruin the work that you just did, or make you feel slightly worse about your body. And you're just going to, so when I'm exercising, I'm riding that high, and I use it to help kind of control some of my cravings and my urges more so than trying to burn calories. It just helps me stay on track as far as when I'm eating.
So from like it adds psychological accountability and almost like emotional accountability, and you sort of don't want to spoil the work you've done, so to speak.
Absolutely. And then just the natural high that you get when you're working out. I mean, I always feel good after I work out, especially a good long run or a good hard weight session where you're feeling a lot of push, and you just feel really good and you feel confident, and you spend, half that time staring at yourself in the mirror anyways when you're working out or lifting weights. And then you feel good about yourself. You look at your body and you can see your progress. I mean, that's probably one of the areas too where I really started to see progress in my body is when I was working out. And, it feels good because finally you're like, oh, I want to wear shorter shorts and I want to wear a tighter t-shirt. And then you can see the definition coming out in your arms and your legs. At least I started to see that, which was cool because even though I'd been trained for so long, it wasn't until I started to lose serious fat that I really saw that. And then you really see it in the gym when you're working and those muscles are all pumped up and you can see them. And that was like, oh, okay. And that made me feel really good about myself. Made me feel like a good high and feeling really sexy and confident. It's a sort of like when you get dressed up in your best and you do your hair and your makeup and you're wearing your, sexy little black dress, you don't really feel like crushing a cheeseburger because you feel so sexy and you feel good about yourself and you don't want to just sit there and be like, especially when you know that those foods, make you feel bloated and make you kind of feel gross, right? And when you're feeling super sexy or feeling really good about your body, you don't feel the urge to crush food.
So it seems to be a self-perpetuating cycle where you look the part, you feel the part, you act the part, and it just sort of feeds on itself.
Absolutely. And I mean, I notice myself even dressing better day to day, like spending a little bit more time on my appearance, and not necessarily time, but dressing better and wearing form-fitting clothes that kind of showed off my body or wearing clothes that made me feel attractive and feel sexy instead of, when I was really playing sports in first and second year. I mean, I dressed the athletic part and it was gross. And when I look back, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so you almost chose clothes to not highlight your body.
So, yeah, exactly. I chose clothes that hid my body. I mean, not only because I probably wasn't very happy with my body, but also because I didn't see my body as something that there was to look at. I mean, like we've been over, I saw my body as something that could do something, not that it was anything to look at. So I hid behind, baggy track pants and big hoodies, all that kind of stuff. And then afterwards, when I started to lose some weight, and especially now, I mean, I find myself, I really want to find clothes that have my body that fit closer, that I feel sexy in. And then the bonus of that is that when you feel really good about yourself like that, you don't feel like ruining your diet either. You don't really feel like overeating because it's going to make you feel bloated or make you feel not good about yourself. And so it's kind of a win-win. So, I mean, I totally recommend that as like a little tip is when you're feeling good, I mean, dress the part and mm-hmm. it really helps you own your progress and feel good about your progress and feel good about yourself, which I think feeling good about yourself is actually a good way to help your diet, even though it's not something that you intuitively think about.
Yeah, it's kind of that. Well, that's a really good point, and we should probably wrap this up, but that was a good point that it, and like I said before, all of these things sort of add to each other, and then the momentum starts heading all in the same direction, whereas I guess we've all experienced, or at least a lot of us experienced, that happen the other direction. So it's, you know, it starts with like losing your focus, then like losing your motivation to train, and then when you actually sort of stop training, then you lose your motivation to, you know, pay any attention to the diet. And then so the spiral goes both directions. You can spiral downward, but no one ever thinks you can spiral upward.
And you absolutely can. Yeah.
Well, I totally think you can. And once you ride that wave, it just keeps pushing you closer to your goal. And then, you know, some people ask, well, once you get to your VI, what happens? Well, it's, you know, you're riding that spiral. Now you live that life to stay there.
Exactly. And then it's neat. Like once you're at a place where you're really happy with your body, I mean, now I'm experimenting with different ways to help myself stay there and help stay motivated to stay there. And part of that is, you know, you dress well, you feel good about yourself. And you experiment, with different ways to stay there and different ways to kind of enjoy your new body and enjoy this lifestyle and find a lifestyle that you can sustainably stay there with. Because I mean, until now I've been living the lifestyle, okay, how to lose weight or and lose size and get to my VI. And now that I'm here, it's the same sort of experimentation. Just like you experiment with how you lose weight, now I'm experimenting with how to live my life so that I can stay this way. So that includes, you know, enjoying, you know, a touch more food, but it still means staying with my workout so that I don't lose any shape and experimenting with different ways to eat, different ways to just live your life. I mean, it's not just eating and working out, but it's also different ways to socialize. I mean, how you plan your eating events, how you even how you carry yourself and how you dress, and you know, all the different, it's kind of exciting. It's a new lifestyle, even if it's just your life but a little bit different. It's sort of like your life at your VI, and what are the new things that you're going to do to enjoy your time here, your time at VI and your life at VI so that you can stay there.
Yeah, totally. And that's something that guys are going through too with AI. There's three things. There's the way you lived and ate and trained when you gained weight. There's the way you live, eat, and train to lose weight and to actually start getting your numbers to where they need to be. I guess gaining and losing weight's not the right. It's to get further away from or closer to your AI or VI. And then once you're at your AI or your VI, then that's a whole new life that you have to live to be there. And that's the one where whoever, as people approach it and stay there, get there, the new experiment is to stay there.
Yeah.
So, well, that was good for today. Let's, I guess, kind of, we're going to actually do this in two parts because we haven't even touched on nutrition, eating habits, and all that sort of stuff. And so next week, I'm going to talk to Allie again, and then we're going to go over, I guess, the other side, getting more into the nuts and bolts of living the actual life to get here and more strategies for nutrition. But that was good for this week. Thanks for obviously being on, and we'll do it again. So you good with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast.
All right, we'll do it again. So for Allison Scott, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.